From the studios of WHQR Public Radio in Wilmington, this is Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis Hilburn. The special use permit is about 3 years old in New Hanover County. Since its creation in 2011, it served as a gatekeeper, giving local officials the final say over whether an industry can set up shop within the county. But the county recently paid nearly $100,000 for an economic development study entitled Pathways to Prosperity, New Hanover County's Plan for Jobs and Investment, also known as the Garner Report. The study concludes that the SUP is a major deterrent to potential investment. Not long ago, planning board officials worked on a text amendment to the permit. After months of negotiations among business leaders and environmentalists, the board recommended a new version to the Board of Commissioners in June. The vote ended in a tie, meaning no action would be taken, and the existing SUP remained in place. On today's Coastline, we'll explore what the role of the SUP should be in the county, whether it is, in fact, putting the kibosh on economic development, and what options exist to bridge the gap between those who want to keep the SUP in place and those who don't. To help us sort through some of these questions, we'll have an environmental advocate and a leader from the business community joining us in the studio later in the show. But first, we'll begin with the man who chairs the New Hanover County Planning Board and who recently authored the proposed amended SUP. Ted Shipley, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you, Rachel. I'm very glad to be here.
What are the biggest problems, in your view, with the current special use permitting process? Is there really a need at this point for an amendment to this ordinance?
I believe there is. And this goes back to basically a year after the SUP was passed. Staff, meaning the planning staff, was tasked with coming up with some tweaks based on recommendations from consultants and business leaders in order to make the ordinance more clear. Because when it comes to the law, what we seek is clarity, no matter how you fall on either side of the issue. And that's really what's lacking at this point. What you have to do when you're looking at the ordinance is say, if I was an outsider, an outside company, wanting to build a cell tower, put a daycare into a residential area, put a chemical plant into the heavy industrial area, anything that has to do with an outsider looking at our laws, you want to be able to – at least you hope that they can decipher it and say, okay, I can set up shop in 180 days and I can start producing widgets in 270 days based on how I read this ordinance. Right now, that clarity is not there.
Is there really a need for the special use permit in the first place, or is it just a deterrent to business?
I'm not someone who can speak as to whether or not there's a need going forward because I'm sort of outside of the political realm. The county commissioners have said that there is a need for a special use permit because they passed it in 2011. So what we've done is address the need to revise the current ordinance, but not delete it from the table of ordinances.
So what then should the role of the SUP be?
Well, first and foremost, I go back to clarity so that someone who is coming in and wanting to set up a business can decipher that and know exactly what the timing will be, what they have to include in their application, and whether or not their use is or isn't permitted by right in a particularly zoned area. So that's really the role in terms of the text itself. I think some people would probably tell you that the role of the SUP is for a community to decide whether or not a business is going to even be allowed in that community. I don't agree with that personally, simply because there's another mechanism in our general statutes to address this, and that's a moratorium. And if you did not want a particular industry in your area, there's already a system set up by which you could ban it for a certain number of years from the community. What they're doing now with the special use permitting process is hurting all industry, be it a bakery or be it a chemical plant.
Are there other communities in North Carolina that you know of that have that kind of mechanism, a moratorium in place on certain businesses?
Not that I know of at this point. I know that some communities have tried, and I think eventually they expired. I can go back and look at that. I'm sure that some of the other coastal communities have done this in the past. Maybe some of the city governments have done it where it's banned within the city but not in the county. It's been done before, but I can't cite to a specific one right now.
Is that a tricky thing for a municipality to put in place?
No, it's really not. It's based on statute, and I think it's actually a higher threshold in terms of the number of votes that are required to do this. So
that would have to go to a public vote.
It would. The elected officials would have to actually ban that particular use or delete it from the table for permitted uses, which was part of the revisions that we had, not to delete it, but to come up with a full table that would allow anyone who's on the other end of this, an applicant, we'll just call them, to know whether or not in that particularly zoned area, whether or not their use is already permitted by right or whether it requires a special use permit.
Since its inception in 2011, has a company ever gone through the special use permitting process and been rejected at the end of it? Has the SUP ever stopped a company from locating here?
I think that in terms of high-profile cases like the ones that people often cite to, I'm not aware of one. However, there are many times when a special use permit is brought before our planning board and we have rejected it under not only the special use permitting process, but their failure to actually address certain items in the application. For instance, there was a sand mine that was scheduled to be brought up for a special use permit, and we felt that in their application as board, they had not supplied us with the adequate information regarding wells and potential contaminants on a nearby property.
And this was the sand mine that was proposed for Castle Hayne.
That's exactly right. And so what we said is we're not rejecting your special use permit. If you're going to come before us again, we need to have X, Y, and Z in your application. And that has been done many times where a special use permit has been either no action was taken or something was rejected, but somebody comes back later with the adequate information.
We have a question from a listener here. And by the way, if you'd like to email a question, you can do that by writing to coastline@whqr.org. And this listener says, how long does an industry have to wait for a decision if they're considering locating here?
Well, see, that's one of the problems with the current ordinance is there is no time frame by which an applicant must be heard by the planning board. The fix that I authored was that even if something has been bottled up with staff for a certain number of days and it has gone on, the applicant believes they've supplied all the information through their application, they have a right to be heard within 60 days. And then it would go before the planning board, and the planning board would hear the staff, and the staff would say, well, we've been looking for this, and they haven't given it to us. And we would probably look at the applicant and say, why haven't you given them your air permit? Why haven't you addressed traffic?
This was a bone of contention, though, during the negotiation process for this text amendment, wasn't it? There were some people who were resistant to the notion of guaranteeing an appearance before the planning board.
That's exactly right. I, however, am of the mindset that, and this is not only just me, but in North Carolina law, that every applicant, if they want to use their land or the land they hope to purchase, they have a right to due process and a right to be heard. And that's really what's part of this entire that's really what's part of this issue within the SUP is can the folks in the staff, not that the staff would do that, keep an application for an extended period of time due to political pressure or something while the applicant really wants to get out there and have this in front of the planning board so that it can have its own public hearing, because this is a quasi-judicial proceeding. This isn't just something where we get in a room, we just kind of – a smoke-filled room and we decide something. This is actually somebody's right to be heard.
And when you say quasi-judicial, we've heard that term bandied about before. Can you tell us what that means?
Sure. Well, you think of a judicial process, you think of something in front of a judge. This is quasi-judicial in that something is being decided by a body politic, but at the same time, there's evidence that's being presented by the applicant, by the opposition. It's being recorded. And that evidence being collected if one side or the other wishes to take this or appeal it to the next level. So there is a certain courtroom aspect to this that is what's why we call it quasi-judicial.
So it holds it to higher less subjective standards.
That's exactly right. There's some structure to this process. There's some method to this madness. That's what I'm saying.
We recently heard about Vertex, the rail car company that just announced plans to invest
$60 million in the region, create 1,300 new jobs. Will they have to go through the special use permitting process?
You know, that's going to be a city issue going forward. When I heard Vertex and I heard industrial use, I thought, well, this could be something that comes before our board. But my understanding is that that facility will be in the city. But if it was in the county, yes, unless if you look at the table of permitted uses, you look at the uses as they stand now, and that was not permitted by right, they would apply for an SUP in the county, and we would have to go through the application process.
That's interesting. So if an industry is located within the city limits, then they automatically are exempted from the special use permit process.
That's right. So we handle things that are outside of the city of Wilmington. And in this instance, and the reason why this came up is because of a potential applicant coming into the county on the other side of the river and using the industrial area for a cement plant. And that's the reason why it's been concentrated on our board rather than the city.
We have just a minute or so before we go to break. Is the planning board going to take this up again? Will this version of the special use permit that you recently amended come before the county commission again? What's next?
It's my hope that we revisit this in 2015. This is something that needs to be done in order to make sure that applicants are fairly heard and that we fix this ordinance as it stands today.
You're listening to Coastline on 91.3 FM. I'd like to thank Ted Shipley, chairman of New Hanover County's Planning Board, for joining us today. Coming up after the break, we'll hear from the two sides on the issue, the environmental position and the business community's point of view. Also after the break, we'll take your phone calls. Do you have a question for our guests? Should the special use permit be a tougher gatekeeper, 910-343-1138, or should it be repealed? You can also send emails to coastline@whqr.org. This is Coastline.